Okay, welcome once again to another Throttle Up Radio show and podcast. I'm your host, Captain Kevin Smith, and I am glad to be here. And we are glad to be on Red State Talk Radio, great radio station. And we are on the weekends, by the way. We are Saturdays and Sundays, both channels, in the afternoons, 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. You can check the station for the exact times, and the 6 and 7 is Eastern time, so you'll have to convert if you're not on the East Coast. And we are also a podcast. Podcast can be found on iTunes, our own website, which is throttleupradio.com, and also other platforms. I think we have found it on Apple Play, didn't we? I'm asking my audio engineer. I think it's, I think it's also available on Apple Play and a couple of other platforms as well. And so it's really easy to find it. Basically, the podcast is available across the board. If you do have access to the radio station on weekends, you can get it there, as I have mentioned. Okay. Now, we are in the midst of a special edition. The special edition of this series is called Think Like a Fighter Pilot, and we're going to be looking at a couple of things that have entered the, let's say, the mainstream, if you will. They have entered the arena of entertainment, movies, books, and ebooks, and audiobooks, and stuff like that. And so there's a lot of attention being paid to the Top Gun Maverick movie, of course. Everybody is well aware of it. I think most people have seen it at least once. I know I have as well. And also, I have a new book, which is called The Sonic Warrior, Chronicles of a Top Gun Pioneer. And that is also available you can go directly to the publisher, by the way. You can get it directly from Redemption Press. That's redemption-press.com. You can also get it just about anywhere else. It is available on all major book outlet sites and bookstores. I will just name a few. Amazon, of course, and Barnes and Noble. There's another book outlet on the East Coast. I forget the name of it. Do you remember? Books a Million. Yeah, Books a Million is also a place where you can get it. And the audio book is available on all audio book platforms as well, and that includes Audible and Barnes and Noble, and the list goes on and on. So there's a lot of stuff to take a look at, to read, listen to watch. So we're trying to address the fascination with this subject, of course. There's been some commentaries coming out that are fairly thoughtful. We are hoping that this commentary will be thoughtful as well. And there are certain aspects of this this phenomena or this fascination with Top Gun and with aerial combat. There's a certain fascination that we need to address ourselves to because it does have far-reaching implications. At least that's as far as we are concerned. It does have that. It is something that we need to thoroughly understand it, because it is important for us to do so. There is a movement There is a change afoot. There is new ideas emerging in the marketplace of ideas, and we need to try to understand it the best that we can so that we can capitalize on this rather important movement of thought, because I do think it is a way for us to return to a productive orientation and not think entirely in terms of the negative, but look in terms of what is positive and what is possible in the realm of human existence. The two things I want to focus on, and we started this, I think, last week or maybe the week before, but we're going to continue with this train of thought on this show and future shows. The first thing is the Top Gun Maverick movie and the Sonic Warrior book. Okay, so we have a movie and we have a book. Now, let me just say right up front that the Sonic Warrior book is a book that exists within a subcategory of books, and they are all valuable. I'm not singling out my book as entirely unique, because it's not. It is unique in some ways, of course, all right, because it doesn't duplicate exactly what other books have done, but it just adds to the body of knowledge. What are the other books? The other books that I mention in my book and elsewhere is Top Gun, An American Story by Captain Dan Peterson. There is another book called Top Gun's Top 10 by Guy Snodgrass. There is another book called Lords of the Sky by Dan I can't remember his last name. I've had a mental block here. Dan Hampton. There we go. Finally got that one. All right, and others as well. Fighter Pilot by Christina Ohls is a great book as well. And so that fits into this, what I would call a subgenre, if you will, or a subcategory that addresses itself to this key aspect of human experience. What is it that we need to know and to need to understand about it? This is not a passing fancy. Now, if, in fact, that this whole idea behind Top Gun, if it was a passing fancy, the Top Gun 1 movie would not have continued to be popular 30-plus years after it was released. Okay, and the Top Gun sequel to that, the Top Gun Maverick, would not have been so wildly possible if this was just a passing fancy, and it is not a passing fancy. It is something that we have got to understand, we have got to come to grips with, we have got to look at it from the perspective of what is this trying to tell us? Why has this struck a chord within human consciousness, and what exactly is it trying to explain to us, to tell us, to orient our thinking in a direction that might very well be more productive, more useful, more life-giving than what we are seeing happening today? I would say that this Top Gun fascination, or this Top Gun movement, is a counterpart to a lot of what we are getting today, which is heavily loaded with negativity. The Top Gun idea is a positive message. My book, The Sonic Warrior, takes the Top Gun idea and moves it further into the human consciousness domain in terms of complex problem solving, in terms of perception and orientation, and in terms of developing a winning attitude and not being overcome by a defeatist attitude, but developing a positive orientation and a winning attitude, and getting rid of a lot of the negative thoughts that might be creeping into our consciousness. Taking decisive action to get rid of these negative thoughts, to shed off these negativities, this negative energy, which are holding us down. Okay, so what I want to do now is I want to play a couple of short clips here to set the stage for our discussions this week. The first clip is called, what is it? There we go. All right, so let's listen to this one. This is about heading for extinction. This is something that sets the stage for this kind of positive orientation, which emerges, by the way, in both the Top Gun Maverick movie and my book, The Sonic Warrior. Here it goes.
Your instructor is one of the finest pilots this program has ever produced. His exploits are legendary.
You can't get a promotion, you won't retire. Despite your best efforts, you refuse to die.
Here you are. Captain. What is that?
One of life's mysteries, sir.
What he has to teach you may very well mean the difference between life and death.
The end is inevitable, Maverick.
Maybe so, sir.
This kind is headed for extinction.
But not today. I have to admit, I wasn't expecting an invitation back.
They're called orders, Maverick.
Your reputation precedes you. Captain Pete Maverick Mitchell.
With all due respect, sir, I'm not a teacher. Just want to manage the expectations.
Okay, so that sets the stage for our discussions this week. Now, here's what I'd like to consider for the shows and going forward with this series that we are engaged in. I'd like to consider the fact that that we are dealing here with situations that could be considered life and death decisions, life and death situations. In other words, this is not a trivial exercise. Aerial combat is a very, very serious operation. It's a very serious exercise where life and death hangs in the balance and where mission success is vital for the preservation of our way of life. Because if we lose the air battle, we are pretty much over as a civilization, as a culture. That was brought home loud and clear during World War II. And it also was obvious during the Korean conflict, not so much with the Vietnam conflict because of political, the politics intervened early on in that conflict, and the warfighters and the warriors were not allowed to bring that war to its inevitable conclusion. Nevertheless, if we don't win the air campaign, we are pretty much over because the ability to destroy ground forces from the air is so it's so highly developed and effective today, and it has been for quite some time. By the way, it was highly developed in World War II as well. That's going to pretty much determine the outcome of any major battle and war. Okay, so life and death, in other words, that's what's being held in the balance. What is this thing that Richard Harris is trying to say to Tom Cruise, to Pete Mitchell? What is this thing? Your kind is headed for extinction. What is he trying to say? Well, okay, this has been going on for a very, very long period of time. This did not come up during the Top Gun 1 movie. It did not come up during the Top Gun Maverick movie. It just didn't erupt. This thing, this attitude, this counter fighter pilot attitude has been around for a very, very long period of time. The Top Gun Maverick movie is just making it known to the general population, but the fighter pilot community has known about this effort to diminish the value of the fighter pilots and diminish the value of the human-centric sonic warrior. All right, so let me make a distinction. I've done this before, but I guess I have to repeat it a little bit. What do we mean? We're using two terms. We're using Top Gun. We're using Sonic Warrior. What exactly are we talking about? All right. So let me try to clarify that, because I know there's a certain element here that is confusing. All right. Fundamentally, we are talking about the fighter pilot community. Now, first and foremost, it is important to understand that the fighter pilots do not operate alone. Okay? They are operating as a team, as a component of the battle plan. Okay? The battle plan includes other combatants, other forces. Primarily, not exclusively now, but primarily, this is extremely important. The fighter pilot operates because of the need for the attack or the air-to-ground attack forces. There is a pressing need for those forces to be protected from aerial engagement. Okay? So the fighter pilot's mission is animated by, or it finds its purpose in providing air cover for the air to ground or the ground attack forces, air forces, aerial forces. Okay, we call them attack. These are the aircraft and the combat airplanes that deliver weapons, ordnance, on ground targets. So it is a battle that begins in the air and ends in the ground or on the ground. Okay. A fighter pilot's world is a battle that begins in the air and ends in the air. Okay. A fighter pilot's world is air to air. An attack pilot's role is air to ground. Both air to air and air to ground forces work together as a team. The fighter pilot is not any more important than the attack pilot. So let me say that again. The attack pilot and the fighter pilot work together as a team, and they are both equally as important. Now, the Top Gun Maverick movie, in a way, tends to support that notion. It does, in a way, because they are trying to attack a ground target, and they are utilizing air-to-air combat skills as well as air-to-ground combat skills to complete this rather difficult and challenging mission. Okay. Now, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to play the second brief audio clip now. All right. This is the one of the early scenes in the movie. Is that correct? Yes. I'm talking to my audio engineer. I think this is the early. This is a great little clip here. All right. It's the one entitled "Good Morning, Aviators." I want to play this because this fits right into our discussion for this show for this week. So let's go ahead and play this one.
Good morning, aviators. This is your captain speaking. Welcome to Basic Fighter Maneuvers. As briefed, today's exercise is dogfighting. Guns only, no missiles. We do not go below the hard deck of 5,000 feet. Working as a team, you have to shoot me down or else.
Or else what, sir?
Or else I shoot back.
If I shoot either one of you down, you both lose.
This guy needs an ego check.
We'll see to that.
So what's up? You put some skin in the game.
What do you have in mind?
Whoever gets shot down first has to do 200 push-ups.
Guys, that's a lot of push-ups.
Well, they don't call it an exercise for nothing, sir.
You got yourself a deal, gentlemen. Lights on. Let's turn and burn.
Fanboy, you see him?
Nothing on the radar up ahead. He must be somewhere behind us.
Yeah. How you We don't get fooled again.
Okay, so was that it?
What do we have here?
Yeah, here I thought we were special.
Fellas, this here's Bagman.
Hangman.
Whatever.
What the hell kind of mission is this?
Everyone here is the best there is. Who the hell are they going to get to teach us?
Captain Pete Maverick Mitchell. Let me be perfectly blunt. You are not my first choice. You were here at the request of Admiral Kazansky,
a.k.a. Iceman.
He seems to think that you have something left to offer the Navy. What that is, I can't imagine.
With all due respect, sir, I'm not a teacher.
Just want to manage the expectations.
What the hell?
Good morning, aviators. This is your captain speaking.
And we're off.
Here we are. In 3, 2, 1.
We're going into combat on a level no living pilot's ever seen.
Not even him.
You think up there you're dead? Believe me.
Whoa!
believed in you. I'm not gonna make the same mistake.
Someone's not coming back from this.
Those are your pilots. Anything happens to them.
Smoke in the air! Wait, wait.
You'll never forgive yourself.
No turning back now.
Come on! Jeez!
Having any fun yet?
Okay, so we are talking about Good Morning Aviators, and this sets the stage for this air combat exercise. They are practicing going to war. This is as close as they can get to actual combat operations. So this is a combat training exercise, and these are done endlessly in the life of a fighter pilot. He spends most of his time working on practicing for the eventuality that an actual combat operation will be pursued in his lifetime. So, what is it that we should consider? What is it that we should try to understand about this? First and foremost, he's talking about when he says, "Good morning, aviators." The first thing he says is basic flight maneuvers. All right, and then he goes on to qualify that, because basic flight maneuvers and dogfighting are almost one and the same, not quite the same, but that's close enough. So basic flight maneuvers, today's exercise is basic flight maneuvers or dogfighting. And he also says something really quite profound: guns only. All right, now I know that probably that was missed by at least some in the audience, and maybe a lot, but for the fighter pilots like me, it wasn't missed. It was a very, very important thing that they had in the movie, in the script. He says, guns only. Why did he say that? Why did he say guns only? All right, so he said guns only because what the fighter pilot community has always believed in is that we have to be able to perform well in close-in aerial combat. That is a prerequisite here for us to achieve mission success, because the long-range flight, the long-range engagement, rather, might evolve into a close-in air combat engagement. And if it does evolve into a close-in air combat engagement, we have to be able to perform well. We have to be able to perform in a way that is better than, that is significantly better than our enemy's ability to perform in this environment. Close-in air combat has a couple of other features associated with it that are important. Number one, it is highly dynamic. Number two, it is extremely dangerous to do it. Number three, it requires a great deal of precision of thought and the ability to project. In other words, the ability to project a future situation from a set of current events. That is the key to success. Now, this mental projection is probably the one deciding factor between being successful in this environment and or being unsuccessful in this environment. He also, Maverick also used the words turn and burn. What does that mean? It means high G maneuvers in afterburner. All right, what is afterburner? Afterburner is an augmented feature of a jet engine that is utilized primarily in fighter aircraft only. Okay, there is some minor exceptions to that, but primarily the fighter aircraft are the ones that employ engines that also have afterburners. Afterburner increases the thrust output of the engine considerably at the expense of using a lot more fuel. And so the afterburner has to be managed very, very effectively in order for the engagement to be successful. I'll give you an example. In the airplane that I was flying, it was the F-8 Crusader. The basic thrust of the engine was about somewhere, it varied a little bit with models, but we're going to say it roughly about 11,000 pounds of thrust in basic engine and 18,000 pounds of thrust in afterburner. Other engines are similar to that in the percentage of increase from basic engine to afterburner. Okay, he also said 5,000 feet is the floor. Now, why is that? Well, because if the airplane becomes uncontrollable, it's going to take a lot of altitude to regain control of the airplane. Also, if a maneuver was not planned successfully, the ability to recover from a vertical maneuver could very well be could take about 5,000 feet to recover from what we call typically a split S maneuver, and that is a negative loop. Split S is a negative loop maneuver. Usually takes at least 5,000 feet to recover. All right, so 5,000 feet is the safety floor. All right, would that actually be utilized in an actual air combat engagement? Probably not, but I do believe that if even during an actual combat engagement, I do believe that if you find yourself below that particular safety margin, that might be a signal for you to exit the flight. That could very well be, okay, I'm going to have to bug out of here and get away from this enemy as quickly as possible. Is that feasible that you could do so? Well, it depends on a particular airplane that you're flying, but I would say that, yes, it's highly likely that you could exit the battle space and survive. Okay, so, and then he talks about the consequences of being shot down. You have to do 200 push-ups and stuff like that. That's kind of a little bit of a playful thing, but that's good too. All right, so we're adding a little bit of a playfulness to this, realistic air combat exercise. Why is that important? Okay, that is crucial here because what these pilots are being instructed in, what these pilots are being taught utilizing Maverick as the teacher, as the instructor, as the leader, what they're being taught is close-in air combat maneuvering, okay? Close-in aerial combat. They are being taught that. Why are they being taught that? Because, as it turns out, based upon the storyline, is that their skills in this area, in this domain, their skills have deteriorated because they were focusing on other aspects of the strike warfare mission. Okay, now, keep that in mind, right? This is important, and this is why the F-14 appeared in the latter stages of the movie. The strike warfare mission includes air-to-air combat and air-to-ground combat in the same airplane flown by the same pilot. All right, that was the progression back then in terms of air warfare. All right, both services, the Air Force and the Navy, they wanted airplanes that could do both. And they wanted pilots who could do both. As it turns out, in this movie, Top Gun Maverick, the pilots that thought that they were the best, they said, who are they going to get to teach us when we are the best? They thought that they were the best, but they weren't. And here, a certain amount of intellectual humility is important. And that's important for all of us, okay? And when Maverick says, I'm not a teacher, I just want to manage expectations, he also was expressing a certain amount of humility. We are always in a position to learn more, okay? And that's pretty much the fighter pilot's creed. If you know anything about that particular community, which I do, because I was a fighter pilot in the Navy for a very long period of time, and a senior fighter pilot and an instructor pilot. I was also a Top Gun pilot, which of course means pretty much the same thing. And ultimately, I was an early Sonic Warrior because I was operating some of the earlier supersonic airplanes. So I was on the ground floor of supersonic air combat. Supersonic air combat was a rather a challenging but also exhilarating area that I found myself in and participating in. And it was, it was a thrill a minute. It was also very, very difficult and challenging. I tell you what, the thing that motivated us, early Sonic Warriors, the thing that motivated us was the desire to constantly improve, to add to our body of knowledge as air combat specialists, add to the body of knowledge, and recognizing that learning will never stop. We will never reach a plateau where we don't need to learn anymore. Our learning will be continuous throughout our flying career, and the next generation will encounter the same situation where their learning will be continuous throughout their flying career. So each generation of Sonic Warriors and fighter pilots will continuously add to the body of knowledge. Okay. Hopefully, that's what is going on today. The Top Gun Maverick movie is suggesting that maybe we have made a wrong turn here. And that is something that a lot of us fighter pilots are suggesting as well. Maybe we made a wrong turn here. Maybe we should get back to the exclusive fighter pilot arena, in which the fighter pilot exclusively deals with close-in air-to-air aerial combat. That is the exclusive domain of this particular group of aviators. Okay, what about long range? All right, so long range is flying an interceptor. Long range is flying an interceptor. Can close in air combat, dogfighting, and can interception or being an interceptor, can they be embodied within a single aircraft? That's an ongoing debate, and that debate has not ended as well. So we have three missions that we're trying to deal with. The first mission is close in aerial combat. It's also called basic flight maneuvers. It's also called dogfighting. Okay, so that's one mission. The second mission is long-range intercepts, all right, intercepting the target at long range. That is the interceptor mission. And the third mission is air-to-surface. It is ordnance delivery or missiles or bombs being delivered from the air to a ground target in order to destroy the ground target. There is also a subcategory of that mission is called, well, there's a couple of terms that's used, Wild Weasel, Viper mission. Delivering ordnance on a ground target that is emitting electronic energy. It could be like an active radar or something like that, or an active missile. So that is another air-to-ground mission. It's a sub-specialty. There's also electronic warfare missions where the enemy systems are jammed by an airborne jamming platform. That's another air-to-ground mission, right? So that's a subspecialty as well. Okay, so we have that. We have that air-to-ground mission. Now, can the interceptor mission and the close-in air combat, the fighter mission, and the air-to-ground attack mission, can they all be part of the same airframe? The consensus of opinion within the active fighter pilot community is no, they should not be. We've got to separate them out. We've got to keep them pure and unadulterated and without compromise. Okay, the fighter pilot must operate without compromise. He must go out there and he must operate at the edges of the envelope with precision and without compromise. That is the whole point of the Top Gun Maverick movie. They brought back the last pure fighter that the Navy had, which was the F-14 Tomcat. They brought that back for a very specific reason, which is, okay, maybe we should return to that. Maybe our experiment with combining these missions into a single platform, a single airplane, and a single pilot, maybe that experiment has turned out to be rather unimpressive, rather poor in its ability to actually deliver on the battlefield within the airborne battle space. Maybe we have just gone down the wrong road. Maybe that's it. Okay. That is one of the key messages, right? Now, what is happening right now in the actual environment right now, that the Air Force and the Navy, or we can say that the Air Force and the Naval Air Force, is experiencing? they're experiencing this resurgence or the reanimation of this idea, which is maybe we should be focusing more on an advanced air combat machine or an advanced tactics trainer for our fighter pilot community. Okay, that's starting to emerge. Where that's going to go, I'm not sure, but it is just, it's not a coincidence that the Top Gun Maverick movie comes out and suggests that maybe close-in air combat is something that we should pay more attention to. Maybe that, and maybe what we need to do is we need to focus more intently on the close-in air combat arena, utilizing this new idea, or this is actually a return to something that has happened in the past, return to the idea of the lightweight fighter. So the advanced tactical trainer is in fact a lightweight fighter. And that goes all the way back to the era of Colonel John Boyd and his efforts to convince the Pentagon to build lightweight fighters as part of the air combat community. And maybe that's what we should be doing, right? So we kind of like going full circle back to what we had at the very beginning of the Sonic Warrior era. We had lightweight fighters that were being developed for use exclusively in the close-in air combat arena. Now, I can tell you what those fighters are. I mean, it's a little bit hard to grasp that unless you've spent some time in the museums or have actually been within the community that I represent, which is the early sonic warfare community. By and large, my group flew lightweight fighters. Now, there was some efforts even back then to equip fighters with largely missiles instead of guns. And that proved to be somewhat disappointing. There was a major effort afoot in the area of developing centers of excellence with respect to aerial combat. That happened to be started up, by the way, by the Navy Fighter Weapons School. Now, I will say that restarted the effort. Now, the initial effort, all right, went, and I mentioned this last week as well, but it bears repeating. The initial effort to address oneself to the aerial combat, the close-in aerial combat arena in which guns were used. Now, keep in mind that guns were being specifically identified as the only weapon in the Top Gun Maverick movie with respect to basic flight maneuvers or close-in air combat. The original effort was the air-to-air gunnery schools that were set up. These were separate centers of excellence schoolhouse programs that were set up by the Navy and by the Air Force during and after the Korean War. This was the early jet era. The early jet era required, because of the high closure rates, due to the higher speeds of the jet airplanes, a separate school and a targeted training program that dealt with air-to-air gunnery, live-fire exercise operations, and skill development was established. That school then was disestablished when the missiles became available and guns were being subordinated to the missiles. That was a huge mistake. And that's what Top Gun Maverick is all about. That's what my book, The Sonic Warrior, is all about, is that that was a huge mistake. Now, I'm not criticizing any individual. I think you can look back at it from a historical perspective and realize that, yes, we thought we had the answers, but as it turns out, it wasn't going to happen that way. So we had to make adjustments, and we had to rethink our policies and initiatives. And that's what this is all about. We made a serious mistake. Maybe we can say that this was inevitable because we are humans and we're not perfect, and that's fine. Okay, I buy that. All right, nevertheless, we made a very, very big mistake, and we're still trying to come up with a long-lasting, viable solution to this big mistake. And I would suggest that the long-lasting, viable solution resides primarily with the pilot or with the human operator. Remember in the Top Gun Maverick movie when it was said, it's not the plane, but the pilot. That's where we should be focusing our attention, notwithstanding that we may or may not have the right kinds of airplanes to perform close in air combat, but we must have the right pilots in any case. Okay, I think we are at the end. Are we at the end of, I'm talking to my audio engineer, and yes, we're at the end of another Throttle Up Radio show, and we will see you all next week.